This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And of course, if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Whitney. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, Whitney has stopped by the studio before, so they have this new LP that's out, and they've come back to visit us again, and the songs are gorgeous. The session was beautiful. Talk to me about this new project and kind of the trajectory from when they were here last to them coming back now.
Yeah, their last album, I actually really loved their last album, Sparks, and it was a little bit of a different project for them because they had put out this one really great, their debut album, gorgeous. I think people, after getting their ears wrapped around that, wanted more of the same thing. So they kind of tried to recreate that with their second album. And then with the third album, they wanted to do something different. So they went into kind of a more electronic way of doing things. And that last record, Sparks, it didn't get the reviews that I think it deserved.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times people want to put a musician in a box, and I think that's so unfair.
Yeah.
They have to try new things in order to create new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a little bit misunderstood. But again, I highly endorse that record, and I think that people should give it another chance. I think it was misunderstood. But this new record, I think for Whitney purists, they will be very pleased. And for people who like the first and second record, they will like this as well. I actually think it's one of the best albums that they've done in their entire career, although I was a big fan of their band, Smith Westerns, as well. But this is very different from Smith Westerns. This is a really kind of pastoral, autumnal, like it kind of sounds to me like, do you know what the golden hour is in photography?
Of course.
It sounds like the musical equivalent of that to me. And I love this song, Back to the Wind, which is one of my favorites from the record. And I'm so pleased that they performed it in Studio A for us. And we're going to get to it right now on WFUV.
We knew it all along. change, I'm okay, nothing's wrong. I knew it all along. I knew it all along. I knew it all along. I knew it all along.
A live version of Back to the Wind here in Studio A at WFUV. That song lives on their fourth full-length release, Small Talk, which is out now. And I am here with Julian and Max. Congratulations on this stunning new record. I think it's probably one of your best. And I guess every album you think, you always have to say, this is our best yet. But I really do think that it is one of the best things that you guys have ever done. So congratulations and welcome back to the studios. This is your third time here. We're very excited to have you back in our space. You haven't come alone. The last time you were here, you just came as a duo, but you brought the whole band with you. So let's give them a shout out as well.
Oh yeah. We, Josiah Marshall on bass, Ziad Azrar on backup guitar or rhythm guitar, J.J. Kirkpatrick on trumpet, Malcolm Brown on keys, and me and Mac, and Charles Glanders, and our manager.
Why not give the manager a shout out?
We're a big old crew tonight. This morning.
The more the merrier. And this is a wonderful new release. And that song that you just played, unsurprisingly great version of it, Back to the Wind. I understand that that was one of the first songs that you did for this new batch of songs, correct?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Tell me a little bit about the feeling that came over you as you were putting this song together and the thought process behind, you know, making this whole album and this one kind of leading the pack.
Well, that one, the case with Back to the Wind was kind of funny because the original demo is almost like unrecognizable. It was like we made it like basically kind of like sounds like a trap beat with the song written over it. Same chords, but like the feeling of it was just kind of, I don't know, like people enjoyed it. Like everyone who had that demo was like, damn, dude, like this song is like, I think people could still tell it was a well-written song or whatever, hopefully. But then we went, me, Ziad, and Max went out to Oregon, not really even knowing that we were going to work on it, I think. But there was just like we just randomly decided to try to sort of reimagine it. And it maybe took like a couple hours to lay it down. And it felt like it completely clicked into place. And the sentiment all just felt like it was being conveyed perfectly.
Interesting when you have a song that the first version or the demo is to a lot of people's likings. What is it that makes you go, I can do better?
I'm not sure if it was like a situation where you're like, we can do it better or something like that. I think we just wanted to record it a little less charmingly and a little more like high fidelity. And when we went to go do that, Julian sat behind a drum set and I picked up an acoustic guitar instead of like programming a beat off like a Roland or something, which is how the demo started. So I think we kind of just like naturally gravitated towards organic instruments when we started playing it. And then it just immediately sounded better to us. We're like, oh, we didn't know this would take this shape, but it did.
And you went to the barn to do this. This is your dad's barn, Julian?
He was just renting the space. And it was actually like, I mean, it was red, but it was like kind of in the shape of like an old kind of small airplane hangar out in Newburgh, Oregon, which is like 45 minutes outside of Portland.
So what made you decide to just hang there instead of maybe going to a regular studio, which you also recorded in your home, right? Do you guys still live together?
Yeah.
You do? Wow. Okay. That's awesome. Good for you. We'll get into that later. But let's talk a little bit about the recording of the record. So it was done in a bunch of different places. Well, in the hangar/barn and also in your apartment, right?
Yeah, that's like the, you know, 90% of it was probably done there. And then we use a studio called Jam Deck in Chicago that's close to our house, just when we want to get out.
When you want to jam?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or deck?
Yes. We originally went out to the spot in Oregon because I really think that we all, you know, we are growing more attached to home and more attached to Chicago, but I do think that we always enjoy, like, skipping town when we're starting a record to sort of, like, I don't know, something feels, like, symbolically right about doing that. But, yeah, we knew that we could use my dad, like, that spot that my dad was renting for free. He didn't have, like, a full studio set up or anything, so there was kind of, like, something a bit DIY about it as well. We, like, flew out a bunch of gear, rented a bunch of gear. Yeah, it just felt like we got to, like, sort of customize the space that way as well, which I think was important.
And you left a bunch of gear there. Like, didn't you leave a tape deck there from a while ago? Was it still working?
I bought that, like, maybe at the very beginning of the pandemic and kind of forgot that I had it, but it's a nice tape machine.
Yeah. Still working.
Yeah, we didn't actually, did we? We were mainly just, like, routing through it to use the preamps, actually, but... I think it's working.
Yeah. It was funny because one of the main belts was too loose, so it wasn't working when we got there. And we went to the hardware store and got like a washing machine belt and just threw it in there.
Oh.
After some, you know, Googling of how to, like, what kind of things you could use instead of the factory one.
I love this can-do attitude. You're like, just let me fix this myself. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
It was kind of fun. Yeah.
So, you mentioned it is nice to skip town from time to time. You guys were considering skipping town, going all the way out to LA for some relationship situations that didn't pan out. I'm so glad that you stayed in Chicago and, you know, fell back in love with Central Time. Speaking of, great line in Dandelion, which is a song that you are going to perform for us today. Yes?
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Cause I let it slip away.
A live version of Dandelion here in Studio A from Whitney off their new album, Small Talk, their fourth full-length release. Thank you guys so much. That was so beautiful. Talk to me a little bit about the concept of small talk, and is that what we're doing right now?
Yeah. That's the whole goal, I feel like, of every interview is to make it feel as casual as it can be. I don't really remember really like when that album title sort of popped into our heads, but I do remember we showed it to one of our good friends, Emily Scher, and she immediately was like, that's a great album title. And I think we just kind of value her opinion. So it just stuck in our hearts and in the back of our heads. And then we still obviously thought that we could come up with something better for it. Like, you know,
we had a title that was an entire sentence.
Yeah, you know,
that it was like 8 words.
Yeah,
we were really lost in the sauce, and then we were like, "Oh, small talk is so simple and pretty. Like, why would we? What is this?"
And now
nonsense that we're trying to do.
I think we probably both always knew that that was the right title. You know.
Do you have any particular thoughts on small talk? Are you good at small talk?
It depends. And what do you think?
I actually don't think this is small talk.
Okay.
I would say this is big talk, and I would. I think we're all talking a big game right here about your music abilities and this great new album, but I kind of enjoy small talk. Like, just I consider small talk to be like, you know, what'd you do this weekend, mm-hmm. what's going on with the weather. But what do you consider small talk to be?
I would agree.
Yeah, but I think the title's also kind of cheeky because it's like, you know, we're kind of purposefully or like poking fun at the fact that most of the lyrics are about pretty large moments in our lives, and so it's kind of like reductive to our own emotional selves, which I think is cute and funny.
Just like you guys, cute and funny.
Not reductive to our...
I don't feel very cute right
now. You don't feel cute right now? Yeah. Even though I will say that in between takes, these guys are all smiles and complimenting each other on their looks and their hair.
Lots of hair compliments
today.
Look
great today.
Everyone's having a great hair day, so please do make sure to watch the videos of the in-studio performances. And that one, Dandelion, one of my favorite songs from the record. And did you make a video for that one? Like, is that the one with the train in mm-hmm. the background? I was so afraid for you guys watching this because it looked like you could fall into the train tracks at any time.
We were right on the edge there. My amp was pretty much on the edge of that roof.
Why are you guys living on the edge like that? You're scaring us.
You know, when you're like in your 30s making music, you got to do something risky. And for us, that
was it.
That was it. We stood on a roof. That's all we had.
Now, the interesting thing, too, is that the trains are going by as you're doing that performance. So obviously, you know, the sound recording of that must have been a little tricky. Did you just overdub the music?
Yeah. That was a proper, you know, synced music video type deal.
We had some... I think Jackson, the our good buddy who shot that video, I think he filmed from the train as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. impressive. Yeah. Took him a long time to get back to you.
Yeah.
I just remember started pouring when we were finishing up. A full like rainstorm came in Chicago. And the piano that we brought up there is about 120 pounds. We brought up a whole piano. It's called CP80, but it's a heavy instrument. And we had to carry it down like one flight of stairs that went straight down in the rain.
Oh, man. That
was terrifying.
That's more danger.
It was actually... See, yeah, exactly. We're risky. We take risks.
That's what's going on these days. So the fourth full-length album, very different from the last record that you put out, Spark, which I actually loved, and you guys came in to Studio A to talk about and perform songs from it. I highly suggest you check out that session in the vault at WFUV.org. Talk about kind of the return to form or the change in direction as you see it or hear it.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to like think about or talk about it, the entire course of or trajectory of our band to to discuss this, I feel like, but like we made the second record basically with the exact same gear, the exact same like sonic tools as the first record. And that was partially due to what felt like pressure at the time, I think, to like, you know, like basically make another Light Upon the Lake. And it was
the
really
first one.
Yes. And it was really difficult to do that and really difficult to finish that record, actually. It doesn't make it any better or worse. So I really love Forever Turned Around, actually, quite a bit. But and then after doing that, and also while the pandemic was starting, I think Max and I knew that like there was only one way to make a third Whitney record. Like I physically don't think that we would have been able to make one if we didn't completely shift the sound, and we just had to like paint with different colors. And then after Spark, like also the reaction to Spark was like, you know, semi-justifiably mixed or whatever. It kind of felt like we had just completely shed whatever weight was on our backs, even though it like wasn't necessarily like a super successful record. I think we both just felt like, oh, we're like finally totally free to make whatever we want and to like re-embrace the things that we do the best, you know, like the, like our actual strengths, you know, both like figuratively and literally, like getting back on the instruments that we are best at too. So
I think the most striking thing about your band is the extremely high level of musicianship that you and your crew bring to these songs. And I love the arrangements of your music and how spacious everything sounds and how you let things breathe without, it sounds unrushed, but it sounds so really well thought out and relaxed at the same time. So talk a little bit about, we talked a little bit about your love of Chicago, and I want to just give a shout out to the Chicago musicianship, because I've heard you say that the work ethic behind Chicago musicians is kind of on a different level as you see it, right?
Yeah, I think it's part of like growing up in the city. There's a certain kind of like blue collar mentality that like a lot of people kind of, especially like a lot of the, pretty much the whole band from Chicago, like our public school kids. So we all like knew each other in high school and stuff like that. And Chicago public school kind of alums are kind of, I don't know, have a certain energy to them that I think is like very like, has, they have a hard work ethic. Well, I think also like the city, the nature of the industry in the city is like, you know, to get to a coast to play a bigger show, you have to like get out of Chicago in a way. Not that the city holds you back, but like there to access some of like the industry in like the bigger cities, I think you have to like be a better player to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's less like outside of your front door.
Because I've talked to a lot of musicians from different places. One person said that in order to play with other musicians, they had to pay them a lot of money. Like they're not stepping out of their house unless this is a paid gig. And then other musicians are like, well, we're just always jamming with different people. We got an open door policy. Everyone's coming in, everyone's coming out. But it sounds like there's a little bit of a different situation where like you're not getting in the door unless you have a certain amount of chops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. So I want to get one more song out of you before you go. But before you go, I did want to talk about you guys, the bond that you have. We talked about this last time. You guys are best friends. You've been friends since, I don't know, like childhood, has it been? No? But you were in Smith Westerns together. So like this
2011, yeah. 2012.
You're going back a long time.
Yeah. Since the very end of my teens.
Mm-hmm. So you could say since childhood, and shows no signs of stopping. This is great, great news. Talk to me a little bit about living together for so long and how that helps your music partnership.
Well, I think just at this point, it's almost like nonverbal. Like our daily communication is like, you know.
Like you're giving each other weird looks or
no, we just
kind of
like, yeah, we just kind of like move around each other in a pretty like, you know, understood way. And I think that translates to the studio where, you know, we don't necessarily have like express conversations about aesthetics of the record that we're making. It just kind of like comes out of us. And then we kind of understand how, what each of us like bring to like an arrangement. And we don't have to be like, well, if I do this, why don't you do this? It just kind of like sits in
right.
Its place.
So you don't even really have to speak your mind. You just kind of feel it. Accurate?
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Yes, nice one.
Although that said, we're going to get into this last song, which is Won't You Speak Your Mind? And it is a fantastic way to end this session with Whitney, a great new song from their new album, Small Talk, which is out now. Guys, thank you so much for coming back to Studio A, and I hope that you'll come back again for your fifth album, which I assume you're already working on. Because you're such hard workers.
Yep. You are correct.
Yep.
I knew it. All right, let's get into it. Won't You Speak Your Mind? It's Whitney on WFUV.
Won't you speak your mind? There's plenty of time. So tell me about the way that you feel. What you really feel. Won't you clear your head? I heard what you said, but I don't know what you really mean. What you really.
That was Whitney performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Max and Julian for joining us in our studio, and thanks to their label, AWOL. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and James Higgins. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Ina Volovich and Cadiz Salazar. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV live sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.